You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me to go over everything that went down in the Champion Carnival is Simone.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you for having me.
So after 75 Champion Carnival matches, it is over and we have a new winner and new directions to head in. Did we watch all the matches? No, but we watched a whole bunch. So we're going to do things a little bit different. We're not going to go day by day like other reviews. Instead, we're going to discuss a couple of participants themselves, and we'll be covering the Champion Carnival final in Otter Ward. But before we get started, we're just going to quickly go over who we thought would make the finals and win. So who do you think would win Block A, Block B, and the whole thing?
I was thinking about, on Block B, I think it's pretty obvious what I'm going to say. So I start with Block A. Block A, I predicted Kento Miyahara. And on Block B, I predicted Rei Saito.
Same.
Who ultimately was my pick for the tournament for a million reasons. Not only who I wanted to win, but who I was expecting to see bring the trophy home.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought the same thing. I know some people swapped out Kento for Hideki, which makes sense. But yeah. Kento, Rei winning.
I think it is pretty common as far as opinions go, predictions go. I remember, I think the official profile of Japan posted the results, and I think the first two were Rei and Kento. So we were all on the same page. Everyone was predicting that, I believe.
So one thing before we get started, recently Jumping Knee Pod celebrated its 1 year anniversary. In fact, the first episode was a 2024 Champion Carnival review with Lewis. I'll be honest, it wasn't the easiest thing to get together. I mean, it took me weeks to come up with the name, and I was basically still learning how to edit a day before recording the first episode. But it's been a year now, and I'm having so much fun talking about All Japan. I still get nervous before each episode, but once myself and the guests get started, it's just smooth sailing. Yeah, I just want to say a quick thanks to every single guest I've had on, everyone who helped get this podcast to 1 year, and everyone who has listened, liked, shared, and all that good stuff. And here's to many more years.
Congratulations. It's really an achievement. It isn't easy, I assume, and I'm sure. But you're doing great.
Thanks.
I'm happy that I've been on a couple of episodes, and I'm happy the podcast is going strong.
I'm so happy I made it to 1 year. I made myself cupcakes to celebrate.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
That's also good. That's a nice way to celebrate.
Mm. So, yeah, that's all out of the way. So let's just get on to the wrestling. We're going to start with the Otter Ward show on the 18th of the 5th. So Tashi Nagao defeated Shota Kafuji in 6 minutes and 1 second. Kento Miyahara defeated Ryuki Honda in 9 minutes and 53 seconds. Rei Saito defeated Hideki Suzuki in 1 minute and 49 seconds, and there were Champion Carnival semi-final matches. Kengo Mashimo, Madoka Kakuta, Seigo Tachibana, Tsuji Kondo defeated Asuki Aoyagi, Rene Yabe, Rei Inoue, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. In the six-man tag team title match, Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and Takashi Yoshida defeated Yuma Oyagi, Kairi Sato, and Fuminori Abe in 15 minutes and 35 seconds. They became the new champions. Dan Tamura, Shota Oshino, and Zion defeated Jun Sato, Nariki Doi, and Senyu Sato in 11 minutes and 3 seconds. In the All-Asia Tag Team title match, Ryzen Hayato and Yuma Anzai defeated Egil Blanc and Mike DiVecchio in 16 minutes and 38 seconds. In the Junior Heavyweight title match, Seki Yoshika defeated Musashi in 23 minutes and 46 seconds. And in the Champion Carnival Finals, Rei Saito defeated Kento Miihara in 24 minutes and 22 seconds. Oh, I haven't done that in a while. That's a lot.
Yeah, a lot of matches too.
Yeah.
With a lot of people, a lot of guys.
Just a quick note before we really dive in. After the match, Ishino and Zion have become a tag team. They're calling themselves Havoc, so they have a name.
Yes.
They're challenging
yes.
Yuma and Kento for the belts. So, I mean, it's looking good. I think they make a good tag team. They even have, like, tag team moves. Like, some tag teams
yes.
out there don't have double team moves. It's like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy about this outcome. I'll talk about it in using more words when we'll talk about Zion during the tournament and all the stuff, but I'm happy about this pairing.
Yeah.
I'm happy because especially because Zion is an Hideki guy. He's truly an Hideki guy. I've seen on Twitter pics of Taishi Nagao and Hideki Suzuki wearing Zion's merch. And as we know, Taishi Nagao is like Hideki's son. So it is cool that he left such an impression on Hideki, who ultimately is the one who calls the moves, apparently. So I'm happy for him. I'm really happy for him. I think they work as a team.
Yeah.
And Old Japan needed a couple gaijins to stay and to be part of the old circle, because it is something that Old Japan have always done. And they kind of lost this stuff, because, I mean, if we, and we should, avoid talking about the guy who won the Triple Crown last year, who is a gaijin and he comes from outside. It is good to have guys who are practically nobodies to come in Old Japan and become stars, because this is what happens in Old Japan. I think Cyrus is a beast, but he is kind of at... I mean, don't want to jump around too much, but I think the XXL guys that is going to appear in the next show is probably Cyrus, who apparently got cleared to compete again, so he's probably back. But a couple of gaijins are important, especially if you put them in units or in important teams. It is needed. I'm very happy.
Well, I'm going to start talking about another two foreigners with the All Asia tag match. I thought this was very good. I can't remember what episode I said it in, but I said, like, we do get foreigners from time to time, and they do end up getting title matches. But I'm glad too that Egil Blanc and Mike D got this title match so they can, like, really show off and have their chance to shine. It did actually turn into the beat up Hayato show. Of course, Anzai got involved at points, but it was mostly Hayato. This is also what happened with their last title defense when they versus the Astronauts. And I really like that Hayato gets this opportunity to get these big wins for the team, because All Japan could easily have Anzai run in, get the pin. You know, he's been Triple Crown champion. You know, it's, it makes sense that Anzai would get the pin, but Hayato gets his opportunities. And I really, really like it. So Egil Blanc and Mike D looked really good in this match, as did Hayato and Anzai. Don't skip this one.
Yeah, I agree. I especially like the way the team, this version of Elpida, is being centered around Hayato. Because, as you said, it would be easy to make it the human's eye show. But I think it is happening the opposite. I think Rising Hayato is the star of the team. So they are able to pace the development of human's eye more. While Rising Hayato doesn't need to beat around the bush anymore. So he's the star of the team. He's the one who gets the biggest moments of the matches. He's the one who gets most wins. And it is very, very cool. It is very, very cool. I'm very happy about this development.
I'm gonna talk about the junior title match now, and like hands down, match of the night. This was just fantastic. 10 out of 10. I loved it. All the good words you can find. There was no staring at each other. It was straight, like from the bell, go. There was like 30 seconds in the middle of this match where they just went counter after counter, and it only stopped when they went for a kick at the same time. And right after that, like they held hands and they didn't let go. They just beat the crap out of each other. There was a really cool camera shot of the hands still being held while both men were on the mat. And like that was just beautiful. This match was supposed to happen in March at the Ota Ward show, but pushed back because Musashi got gastro. So we did have to wait a while, but it was definitely worth the wait. These two absolutely killed it. And what I love about this is that what they were given time. This only went 1 minute less than the main event. And normally junior title matches are what, like 15 minutes around then. They're like, nah, just give these guys like 24 minutes. Yeah, just like, oh, one more thing quickly about this match, because I can go on and I probably will in a future episode. But I love that they had Tsuji Kondo on commentary because he is a junior All Japan legend. He trained Seki Yoshioka. It just makes sense. So whoever put him on commentary, like two thumbs up from me.
Yeah, this was special. I'm very happy that the match was postponed because to have it on the final Carnival show, which is one of the two or three most important shows of the year, it was very fitting. And both gave their 200%. Also, this was a match that had a history. Both as we take them singularly, because Seki Yoshioka was supposed to debut in All Japan before going to WrestleOne. I don't know if he debuted because I have a theory about Aegyptus Aerial, who, I mean, who, I really think that who wasn't around to watch Aegyptus Aerial won't believe me if I talk about the guy. But I have a suspicion that behind that the tapes and the mask, it was Seki Yoshioka because it was very reminiscing of his style. But Seki Yoshioka, I think, said that it was a very important match for him because to him, winning the belt, the All Japan Junior belt, was very important for what All Japan meant to him, and of course the history with Musashi because they are a team, they are friends, they like to bullshit around, but in this match they went 200%. They on a couple of occasions they looked like they were trying to kill each other, which is the best thing of a match between friends. I love when they do that. And also, this was the Musashi that I always loved in Michinoku Pro, the junior ace star. I suspected that it was going to end this way because of all the posts that Yoshioka put on Twitter. So I had an inkling about the ending. And I'm on one hand, I'm sad that Musashi's first reign ended this way. But considering that he has a managing role in All Japan, it is still a feat because people who hold managing power usually don't win anything. So it's good that he had the chance to win the junior belt. And but I'm very happy for Yoshioka because he's a very, very good wrestler. I have a couple of issues with him because sometimes he goes too fast. But in this match, he didn't go overboard, and it was perfect. It was, I think, his best performance ever. I really loved the match, and I hope he will have a good reign. And especially, I hope that next year it will be signed, because I believe on the backdrop of all that is happening, because there are other stories that are being told about the new guys who are dominating the AUA division, for example. But I think that what people are missing is that All Japan are basically creating a new junior division full of young guys. And they need someone who is young but a little bit more seasoned to guide the kids, because even if we see who are passing the tryouts, Nagao and the other guy who is at ringside nowadays, they are very short, which means that all Japan are deliberately choosing small guys to renew the junior division. And having guys who can guide these kids is very important, I think. And it would be the perfect fit for the new junior division.
Yeah. I just think this match was fantastic. And I like that juniors are stealing the spotlight in Champion Carnival, because Champion Carnival is all about the heavyweights. These two stole it a couple of years ago. You'd remember this, like Hikaru Sato and Black Mesa Ray stole the show on that Champion Carnival show. It's just, they just did so good. I watched it twice. I probably can watch it like a third time after we talk and record this episode. It was just so good. And they got like the full, video intro and stuff. They showed their history. It made sense that it was these two, and this is a guy that Musashi dropped it to. And I'm just glad it wasn't Asuki, because I could just see Asuki just walking back, strolling back in and grabbing the belt. So I'm glad he's staying away from the title scene for the time being.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, he will be probably the one to get the belt from Yoshioka, because I don't think Dan is going to win on defense zero.
Yeah.
At least, as much as I love Dan Tamura, I hope he doesn't. I hope Yoshioka doesn't lose the belt immediately. But of course, I think Katsuki is going to get the belt very soon.
Yeah.
So keep him away. He doesn't need the belt this soon. He's the star of the division. He is the most popular guy. He is the face of the division.
Mm.
In fact, who was there to announce that they're bringing back the Junior League?
Asuki.
Yeah. Yes. So I think that he probably is going to win the tournament and then the belt, probably. But I don't know. I'm very curious about the tournament too. I think they're going to announce the lineup on the next show, on the big show, because
yeah.
They are going to have the tournament in July. So we're there basically. And we'll see. But I'm very curious, because I don't know, this Shotaku Fujigai, I'll talk briefly about this guy. I don't know if he's signed to Osaka Style Wrestling or if he's only between air quotes trained by Osaka Style Wrestling, but this is the second time that they brought him for All Japan shows, and this was, I mean, it was a pre-show match, but it was still a match in front of the other city people, and so it was nice. I'm curious to see if they're going to put the kids too, for example Taishi Nagao, or if they're going to bring guys from outside. I'm very curious to see the relations of All Japan with other promotions, because apart from Dragon Gate, I don't think they are bringing guys from any other promotion right now.
Mm.
So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. But this was all to say that it's fine that Atsuki is staying away for a little bit.
Okay. Main event time. So I liked June on commentary for this match. I liked his face after Ray won, looking proud and like looking forward to beat up his brother. The match to me was fine. Out of all Champion Carnival finals I've watched since like 2020, this might be my least favorite or second least favorite. I just don't want to be negative, because I just wanted these two to have the match they deserve. I think maybe the junior title match like kind of ruined this match for me, because it was so good. I'm just like, okay, I'm done with wrestling. I don't need to see another match. And the fact is that Ray was so dominant in his semi-final matches. I wanted him to be dominant here. I didn't want him to beat Kento in like 5 minutes, but I just want to see more of that dominant, more of that anger. And one thing I want to see, you will know exactly what I'm talking about, is the Champion Carnival finals between Suwama and Tanahashi. How Suwama powerbombed Tanahashi with so much power. I wanted that from Ray. I wanted him to do that, because the barbecue bomb he got in the finals, I was just like, okay, well, like, good. It's good. But like, I just wanted a bit more to cement. That's it. That's I won. I deserve this. Kento doesn't deserve this. It's me.
You know, that's very valid.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know especially... you love Ray, but this wasn't my match.
That's valid that you like the the junior title match more. And I think that the problem of the I liked it a lot, but it was not my match of the tournament. I think what was the problem? I think to me the problem is that Kento Miyahara, when you put Kento Miyahara in any match, is going to become a Kento Miyahara match. And when you have Rei Saito, you don't need that kind of formula. You need Rei Saito being a dominant force. And this is a problem, on air quotes, because it wasn't a bad match. I think it was a great match, but it could have been better because Rei does better with guys who can just go ape shit and beat the shit out of each other, because that's the guy who is. He's that guy. He is a big guy who eats very hard. With Kanto, you are going to have another type of match. You are going to have the classic case style match. And there were a couple of spots that I really loved. For example, the counter choke slam that Rei used to as a counter for a running move. A couple of moves that he used here for the first time, but I think there are other guys against whom Rei works better, and those are guys who are much more explosive than Kanto. He works better with guys against whom he can have a bit down, guys who are more explosive than Kanto. For example, Rei has an amazing chemistry with Yuma Anzai, and the matches he has with Anzai are always stellar. And with Kanto, this kind of stuff cannot happen. Kanto works very well with almost every kind of opponents, and it works this time too because it wasn't a bad match. But you are going to have a stellar match with Kanto against a specific kind of wrestler, because Kanto sticks to a formula, which is not a problem to me because every guy has a formula. That's exactly the problem of the situation. But Kanto has a formula. And this formula works very well with guys with a similar build, with a similar style. When he has to adapt to guys who have a completely different style, for example, Rei Saito, who is truly unique, not only in All Japan, it's a bit problematic because he's not as fast as the other. He has a different style. He has a different approach to matches. And that's great because what makes Rei Saito a great wrestler is that he's unique. He knows what kind of wrestler he is, and he sticks to that. I appreciate that he tried to adapt to Kento's more spectacular style, and I use spectacular in air quotes because Kento does very basic moves, so he's not spectacular in term of moves, but in term of rhythm, in term of patterns. But I really see what you're saying.
Yeah, you totally make sense about the Kento wrestling, the Kento match. There was, it might have been Champion Carnival, where they had an outsider and every All Japan wrestler wrestled that. I think it might have been Nomura, Tsukui Nomura. I might be just talking crap right now. They wrestled his style, except for Kento. Kento wrestled Kento's style. He's like, nah, I'm not changing. So that makes perfect sense. I don't think Faber's rolling in his grave, like people are saying. This
Yeah,
match and this ending
that's
got
truly
so
stupid.
much undeserved hate. It's just like, it's the perfect story. It's the story that makes sense. Rey is the only, possible winner for what's going on right now. And like these people who hated it and like talking crap, are they thinking about it now? No. Like they probably
Yeah.
forgot like Champion Carnival what happened a couple of weeks ago.
All the hate that the Saito's winning to me is baffling because people like to throw around the concept that every new star needs to lose. Okay, that's fine. But to have a generational shift, you need the big guys to win. If we go back to Kento Miyahara, when Kento won the belt, I mean, it wasn't a true generational shift because Kento was all by himself. The only other guy who was around at the time was Zeus, but with Zeus, and we all agreed at the time, Zeus didn't get enough. But when Kento won the belt, Kento kept the belt for almost 2 years. He never lost against anyone. We should go back to the other generational shift. When Suwama won the belt in 2010, he kept the belt for 2 years, almost 2 years, 2 full years. In this reign, he beat the shit out of everyone. The other guys who were around him at the time kept stumbling, which is exactly what is happening in All Japan right now. They've been telling this story for the past 2 years, so it's not something that is new. They've been telling for 2 years, okay, we are having a rebranding. The Saito brothers are our main stars, and then there is Yumanzai, then there is Honda, then there is Hayato, then there is after them, because he signed later, then there is Aya Beren. And we have this story. They are not being mysterious about this story. And at the same time, why the Saito brothers are getting their wins now while the others are stumbling? Because people present this situation like all the new stars are dominating. But if we see who the four finalists were, two were old guys, between, of course, air quotes, like Kento and Hideki. The other was Honda, but Honda was perfectly faithful and true to the story that they have been telling with Honda. In every tournament, Honda always go far. In every tournament, but he never wins because he's still too young. Yumanzai ate shit in this tournament. So it's not like they are dominating. Why the Saito brothers are winning? Because maybe they are 40 or almost 40. In December, they will be 39. They cannot wait too much with them. And also, they are their most popular acts. You can see with the pre-sales of the show. They are basically going to have the show in Sendai with close to no tickets available. So I really don't understand the what is happening right now when it comes to critique. Of course, I'm not saying that everyone should agree. I'm not saying that everyone should like what All Japan has been doing, because of course, it is an important part that we all have our ideas. You cannot have the Saito brothers keep losing against Kento Miyahara for 3 years, because you are going to kill the momentum. And it is something that is very important. This is what happens with the first reign of Suwama. The first reign of Suwama was considered a bit of a flop at the time because they didn't stick with him. He lost the belt. The reign was not too short, but he didn't have any big victory. He didn't have that many big victories as he had in 2010. So people tend to count Suwama's first reign and as the 2010 reign. So I think All Japan is just trying to avoid doing this mistake.
Yeah, like, well said, everything, because it's just the hate. I just couldn't believe it. The thing I think people forget is just how popular the Saito brothers are. Like, if you look at All Japan's socials, whenever they have a crossover with something else, it's always the Saito brothers. They're always there. And the thing is, you can even say they've had this story since June lost the Champion Carnival last year, all the way up till Ray won it. Or you could just say it started in January when Ray asked for a title match and June said no. It's the simplest story. It's so easy to follow. It makes sense. And I think your point about, like, people forget that the Saito brothers are in their late 30s is because they were part of, like, the new generation last year when Anzai won the belt, when he was there with Hayato, Dan, and the Saito brothers, because they're all young except for, like, the Saito brothers. I'm not saying they're old. I'm just saying, like, in that group. I mean, well, that was the finals. Ray won. He looked so happy with the trophy posing next to it. It was actually a really nice moment, especially with June there. Did you want to talk about anything from the Ottawa Award show, or we'll get to the
I only wanted to mention that the six man tag team title nowadays is the bullshit title. I mean, as long as the guys have fun, I'm all for that, but I'm Terrio guy when it comes to six-man belts, so I would love to have battles for the belts, but I mean, as long as the guys have fun, it is pretty much all every time the same six guys with a couple differences.
Yeah.
Because Okuda is there, Kumarashi is there, Fuminori Abe is there, Hikaru Sato is there, Yuma Oyagi is there, they love to bullshit around, so it's fine that they have fun. And especially because it seems to me that people seem to enjoy those matches, at least people live. I don't like that those matches too much, but it's fine. It's fine. I would like to talk about Okuto Mori when we talk about the Champion Carnival participants. I have my thoughts on him. I'm very split on Okuto Mori right now.
Okay, so let's get to the blocks, and we start with Block A. Takeshi Yoshida, he ended up with 2 points. Zion had 4 points. Shota Oshin had 6 points. Kengo Matsumori, 8 points. Kuma Arashi, 8 points. Jun Saito, 10 points. Davey Boy, 10 points. K Miyahara 12, and Hideki Suzuki also on 12. So we just have a couple of wrestlers that we're going to talk about. Maybe some things are short, maybe some things are long. I'm just going to quickly start off with Zion. So before I really dive into some of these people, I just got to give him props for someone who had such a long wrestling break to travel all the way to Japan and compete in the Champion Carnival. I reckon he did pretty well. I don't know how many people thought he would score high. I didn't really think he would, but I think he did good. I saw a lot of people like him. I hear people cheering his name in the crowd. He had merch. He seemed to really enjoy it. There were some photos of him, it's adorable, like hands up in the air cheering. Yeah, I have a little bit about Shino, but we covered that already.
I mean, I love him. I'll be upfront. I'm not being mysterious about my liking of him on Blue Sky, and I think that if we this is something that I already said on Blue Sky, that if we deprogram him from his upbringing, because he's clearly a guy who came up in BC, and you can see it in some of the stuff he does. But if you can deprogram him from that upbringing and you make him a regular type of gaijin, he could be a very, 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 very interesting guy. And Zion, the problem of also, yes, the coolest spear in the world, because he's a shoulder block, basically, more than a spear. Also, he does the rugby stuff, the I don't know, is he Australian or
Yeah, sure.
Is he Australian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he I seem to remember that he comes from rugby, and he does in his moves stuff that reminds me of that kind of background, and it is very good. It's very cool. With Zion, we saw another problem that we saw about the different perception between All Japan and other promotions, because nowadays, WWE guys are everywhere. You see them in NOAH, you see them in DDT, and you never see a complaint when those guys appear there. Zion appeared in All Japan. People were complaining when he was announced. He was called the NXT jobber. I mean, yes, I guess it's true. I don't watch NXT, so I have no idea. But consider what I read before he started the tournament. I was expecting truly a horrid wrestler, which was not the case. And this very goes with what I was saying before, with the perception that you have according to how much you care about a promotion. Because people are very lenient towards guys appearing in other promotions. I mean, there are NOAH is collaborating with WWE, and people don't seem to have a problem when WWE guys come to NOAH. So I really don't understand why suddenly it's a problem that Hideki is bringing a guy that he trained in WWE. It is the most obvious thing that happens in the world, that guys bring who they know. So I really was expecting an horrid wrestler, which was not the case. Of course, he didn't go that strong when it comes to points, but what he had to do was to make himself known to the Japanese crowd, and he succeeded in spades, I believe, because he sticks to the normal, to the basic. He didn't do stuff that was above his style, his level, except when he tried to do a power bomb on Kumarashi,
Oh,
which
yeah.
is probably one of the stupidest things you can do unless you are, I don't know, Rei Saito, who is heavier and stronger. But I don't know. Except for that, apart from that, it was very solid, and I'm happy staying.
Yeah, he played rugby. I like rugby, so that gives him a couple extra points. Okay. I want to talk about Kengo Mashimo next. For
Yes.
me, in the Battle of the Kens, I preferred Kengo over Kento in the Champion Carnival. I wasn't expecting too much from him, kind of like middle of the pack, maybe one or two big wins over the leader of the block, but he totally blew my little expectations out of the water. I had so much fun watching him wrestle. A lot of people talk super positive about him, and it's not hard to see why. He's a very versatile wrestler, and to see him with Ishino and Hideki in the same block was just like, this is his element. This is him. I know he has two IW commitments, but I'm never going to say him popping up in All Japan is a bad thing. I want to see him more. If he enters the Goro TV title scene, that could be a really cool place for him. Yeah, his performance, two thumbs up. Definitely.
I love Kengo Mashimo. I love when he appears in the tournaments because he's pretty much a regular for Japan because he appears very often. He's phenomenal. I've been watching him for the past, I don't remember if he was still around, if he was already around when I started watching 20 years ago, but I remember in the I don't know 2008, 2009. I remember he was already around and he was a beast. I remember him working promotions like Futen, who was a shoot style promotion, and he was a beast. In that context, he was a monster, and I've been loving him since then, basically. And I always love when he shows up. I love when he gets the occasional title match. When, for example, it happened, I remember a title match against Kento Miyahara. I'm very happy when he's around, and I hope he can still keep appearing. He's never going to ditch TOAW, and that's fine because I don't like when big promotions go and grab guys from smaller promotions. But I'm very happy that TOAW and All Japan are still, I mean, they're close because at least a couple of years ago they shared part of the management. You never see guys from TOAW in All Japan nowadays except for Kengo, and I hope he can still keep appearing because he's phenomenal, he's great.
I definitely want him to keep appearing. He always pops up in like just random tournaments. Like he was in Tag League last year and a couple of years ago he was in Tag League. Like don't leave 2AW for All Japan, but just show up more. Even like
Yeah,
double
I agree.
contract like Rising Hayato has.
Yes, it would be very cool.
Jun Saito now.
Yes.
For me, his champion carnival was a bit of a weird one. I think he had added pressure on him being the first time Triple Crown champion going into the tournament like Anzai did last year. But I don't think his run was as good as Anzai's. He had losses. Hideki makes sense, giving him a credible opponent for Triple Crown Challenge. Kento was a bit for me because Jun just defeated him. And the less said about his other loss, the better. It had me thinking, I wish they made him seem more credible and dominant in his wins. Like, did he really need 15 minutes to put away Yoshida and Zion? I don't think so. I'm not saying make it a squash, but maybe like 10 minutes or so. He leaves the carnival in joint second place, so it's not all bad, but I just think there were people I didn't expect to have a better tournament than him that did. Kengo Mashimo. I just think he needs to be. He will All Japan need to show him more dominant in his wins.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. In generally speaking, 15 minutes Takashi Yoshida matches are not needed, I think. Although I really like him because he's very fun. He's fun and funny. But for the kind of tournament he's having, for the kind of character that he is, you don't need to have 15 minute matches for him. It is not the what the doctors prescribed. So I really don't know. And yes, I agree with everything you've said. I would have loved to see him a little bit more dominant, and especially I wouldn't have want him to split the second place with someone else without naming names. But yeah, not a bad tournament, but I wanted something more out of him.
Okay, so I have Kento Miyahara next, and I am very happy that they kept his losing streak. So, if you don't know, Kento always loses in day one of Champion Carnival. It's been happening 6 years, 6 or 7 years, and they did it again. He lost to Hideki, so very happy with that. The thing with Kento is he is a fantastic wrestler and never really half-asses it, but I was more interested in other people in this tournament. I had him in the final, so I'm like, okay, I don't really have to watch him. He's just going to go straight through. He's Kento Miyahara. That's just what he does. I don't know. I really like him wrestling, but I think I like him wrestling more in, like, not in the tournaments, just in matches. Of course, he had a great showing. Like his matches against Hideki and Ishino were very fun, but I just enjoyed watching like other people more, or the other block actually.
Yeah, I think if you actually think about it, going back to what I said before of the formula, of the Kento formula, has a different formula for tournament matches, but he tends to stick to that. And we've seen Kento taking part in tournaments for the past 10 years. So if there are other guys, we tend to be more curious about the other guys. We've seen a million title tournament matches out of Kento, so we know what to expect. There is not a surprise anymore, no? There is not that kind of surprise. Mm-hmm. So we tend to be more curious about others. But he's always good because he's a phenomenal wrestler.
Yeah.
But I agree. When there is a Kento Miura match on the card, I'm not... I mean, of course, it depends who he's facing. But I'm not saying, wow, this is the match I'm going to watch. Except for the match with Zion. I was very curious about the match with Zion, which was great, by the way. And this is an exception. But, for example, if we have Kento Miura against Jun Saito, which is a match that we just saw a month ago, pretty much, yeah, the novelty is not there anymore. So, of course, it was a good match. I'm not saying, I don't want to sound like I'm saying those matches were bad, but they are not the matches I was interested in. And this is, then I'll say it later when talking about the tournament as a whole. I never look forward to Kento's matches in tournaments. I mean, except when he's facing guys who I've never seen him face. For example, I would have loved to see him face Madoka Kikuta.
Yes.
But in this turn, in his block, we've seen pretty much all these matches a million times over. It would have been more interesting to put him in block B, seeing who the other guys were. But I mean, Kento is still the ace. He still can go against the best of them. So, yeah, I agree with what you said.
Yeah, like when the schedule was up, I was like looking where Kento and Shino was, and Kento and Kengo, because I'm like, okay, these two matches I have to watch because they're going to be great. Because last year, Ishino and Kento were one of my favorite matches from the Champion Carnival. But I just think, like, we know what to expect from him. Like I said, like, I thought, okay, he's just going to go straight through. Let's just see what other people are going to do.
Yeah, I agree. Completely.
So, Hideki Suzuki, I really don't have a match for him. He was 100% in the right block, though. Having two other submission guys he could play around with really helped him, and it helped me like him more than I usually do, because if you heard me before, I'm very 50-50 with Hideki, and I think he put so much effort into this tournament, so you know, congratulations, Hideki.
Yeah, he can be weird, because I think we talked about it before. The problem, I don't see it as a problem, but the thing with Hideki is that he can look very non-cooperative when he wrestles, which is fine. Which is fun, more than fine, for the kind of wrestler that he is, but it's not going to work with every kind of guy he's facing. Mm. But then again, I'm a huge Hideki Suzuki fan since he started appearing in IGF. He was the only good part of most IGF show, and I loved him in Big Japan. And I'm happy to see that he's bringing his kind of flair to All Japan, because you can see his influence on Den Tamura. Then Tamura is slowly turning into a Big Japan strong division guy, which is a great thing. And you can see he's starting to show the influence that he has on Taishin Nagao in the match against Kofuji. This is the first time. I mean, Nagao is 100% going to end up as an high flyer, 100%. But you can see in that match, he didn't fly at all. He just beat the shit out of the poor other kid. And this was Hideki. This was Hideki's influence. You can see every guy that he trains ends up in the same fashion. For example, Takuya Nomura. He is another guy who can seem like he's totally non-cooperative when he wrestles, which for a certain type of guy, it's great. And in this tournament, he was a little bit more normal, using air quotes for the umpteenth time today, but he adapted to the house style, which is something that people appreciate, especially because as we go with what people have been saying for the past 6 months, he has a big role in All Japan.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's weird that he ended up in the semifinals, probably I wouldn't have done to myself that, but it is very, it is fascinating that he decided for the first time in his career probably to be cooperative. I'm using this term. I don't like to sound like he tries to turn the matches into train wrecks, but he's a guy who is, will always have a flair of competitiveness to his matches. He's always trying to out wrestle you.
Like, I guess if you watch Hideki, you know what we mean. But yeah. I think ever since being signed at the start of the year, he's been on a really good streak. He's not really, yes. you know, just playing around in his matches. He's having really good matches. And he was mean in this tournament, except for maybe the last match with Ray. That was a weird one. Just the punches and elbows and submissions. Yeah.
Yes.
Really, really good, actually.
I think Lewis said that when he puts the purple trunks, he's going to have a great match. And that's true. Mm. But he's, even in this tournament, even when he wasn't wearing the purple trunks, when he was wearing those sort of sofa cover trunks that he's wearing lately that are horrendous, he's still able to have great matches. Because he is a phenomenal wrestler. He's just weird. In this current time, he's very weird. He's an outsider at the end of the day. And it is very fascinating to see him in All Japan, which was one of Billy Robinson's main promotions. And he's Billy Robinson's kid, basically. So it is a nice circle moment that he's kicking ass in All Japan nowadays, which is great.
Would you like to talk to anybody? Like anybody else in Block A?
Yeah, I would like to say that I wish better for Shotaro Ashino, but I'm a broken record at this point. I really need him to start get big wins. I don't want him to be one of the guys. I really want him to get at least one good reign.
Yeah,
that's the only problem I have with All Japan. The other problem, but they are solving it, is that I don't like that they don't give too much of a shine to the juniors.
Mm, okay.
But they are working on that.
Yes.
The other main issue I have with Shotaro Ashino, that is unforgivable. But I can understand the problem with him. Look, just looking at him, it is very obvious, just at first glance, what the problem is with him. Which is a problem, which is a shame. It shouldn't be the case. I really hope they can change the way they book him, especially because he seems very, very close to Suzuki, to Hideki.
Mm, yes.
And it's not by chance that Hideki gave Zion to him as a partner. So I really hope things will change for him. That's the only thing I will complain until the end of days, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not one who, I don't know, I don't accept everything that my favorite promotion does. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this thing I really cannot stand. I'm really against that. But I have to say, I know why this is happening. And it is a pity. It's a shame.
Yeah, like I had a bit about Ashino, but it's always the same. Like he deserves better. And the thing is, all of his matches were really, really good. And even like before the tournament, his matches were really, really good. He just doesn't win them. That's what they just give him
I
something.
Agree. Yes. Yes, I really want him to succeed.
Mm.
And the thing is, you can always say, maybe he can leave the promotion and go somewhere else and win. Yes, that's true. And I hope that if that's happened, he goes where he can win a lot. But the problem is that promotions are getting very protective with their main stars.
Yeah.
So I really don't see any promotions on planet Earth, especially in Japan, picking a guy who's basically a Wrestle 1 star because he was made in Wrestle 1, which is a promotion that doesn't exist anymore. So I don't see other promotions welcoming in and giving him the big belts. Like, for example, other promotions which are in All Japan's range, like, for example, Noah, I still don't see him going there and win because we can see with Soya. Yeah, they're giving him the second belt, but he's never around the main belt.
Yeah.
At least up until this day, which is something that I think it's a bit of a shame, but at the end of the day, I understand why this happens. We are at the end of a very tough period because the COVID era really kicked a lot of promotions' asses in Japan. And they're started from the time to become very, very protective of their stars. Also, talking about All Japan is very short, which yeah. in All Japan is a problem.
Thing is, I love business tag, Kento and Yuma. Like, I got Yuma Aoyagi 10th anniversary stand next to me. On the other side, I have, like, their little tin that Rachel got, business tag tin she got me. I want them to lose. I want Ishii and Zion to win the tag belts.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Yeah, then it would have been a problem to have the Saitos lose the belt against two guys who lost the belt immediately.
Yeah.
But I, at this point, I don't give a shit. I really want Ishii to win.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The belts,
yeah.
Especially because at the end of the day, you gave Business Tag the right to be the 100th champion. So
yeah.
It is something in itself.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense on a booking sense, but I'm not a booger, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And I want Shotaro Ishii and Zion to win.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty obvious about this, but I'm just saying it outright. So,
Block B now. I actually like that Block B. Things were fairly tight up until the last show. Like, no one was really dragging behind. Like, when we went to the last day, 6 out of the 9 wrestlers were on 8 points. So it was pretty tight. And I know you want to talk about Papa Tomore, so you can say... Talk about him first, but before, let me say the point standings. So
yes.
Hokuto Omori, 6 points. Egil Blanc, 6 points. Mike DiVecchio, 8 points. Rene Abe, 8 points. Yuma Aoyagi, 8 points. Yuma Anzai, 8 points. Madoka Kakuta, 8 points. Rei Saito, 10 points. Ruki Honda, 10 points. So take it away.
Yeah. I would like to start with Hokuto because I'm very split. I'm on two minds about him. Because on one hand, I would love to see him being a little bit more serious because he has a great potential to be a great wrestler, I believe. But on the other hand, he seems to have a lot of fun. He is the guy who is constantly pushing his bullshit to be more extreme. He was the guy who came up with the maid outfit, for example. He seems to have a lot of fun with this kind of figure that he has right now. And also, people are really behind him. They seem to be really invested in this persona that he's portraying right now. They like him being the bullshit leader of the bullshit stable, which is the funniest part and most fun part of the lower part of the card. And also in this tournament, he had big wins, he had big moments. So at the end of the day, it's not like they are trying to make him look as a clown, completely at least. But I would love to see him, I don't know, I would love to see him taken more seriously. But still, if he's having fun, if he's the one who likes to do this stuff, I'm completely on board. That's why I'm split on him.
Yeah. Like, I think he is having fun. He seems to enjoy it. Like, he has his whole group around him, and they seem to be having fun too. I was just so happy he wasn't in a horse mask like last year. That was just ridiculous. Like, we didn't even get a reveal who was, like, his friend under the horse mask. It was just never
yeah.
revealed. It was ridiculous. So I'm glad this year he's gone with a cape and his little hat and stuff. That's, like, 100% better
yeah.
than that stupid horse mask.
Yeah. I wonder if he was the one who came up with the horse mask, because I've seen him do that before with different boogers. So I don't know. At this point, I'm starting to think that's him.
Yeah.
And as long as he's having fun, I'm all for it. Go for it, bro. But yeah, he would have the potential to be maybe not a superstar, because he has the same problem that Ishii has. He's incredibly short when compared to the other guys who are coming out. I mean, even Honda looks small against, for example, the Seatos or even Anzai. Let's not talk about Hayabe. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what he's going to do with his career. I hope he'll have a successful career and he will win a lot. But to me, he's way better than the guy who is in the mid-card belts, like, for example, the six-man belt. I mean, we'll see. I'm not as adamant as I am with Ashino, because in this case, I see that a lot of stuff comes from him. But I don't know. It's kind of a pity, I believe.
Yeah. So the other person on 6 points, Egil Blanc, I'll owe an apology to him because I said I wasn't excited when he was announced. I guess I still saw him as a junior weight, so having announced for Champion Carnival heavyweight tournament seemed a bit weird, but I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun to see heavyweights who nearly never interact with flippy guys face like a true flippy guy. Saying that, it's funny, I wrote this before you know, the tournament ended. He had a tag match with Ryzen Hayato on the other side, and they wrestled for about a minute in this tag match, and I was like, I want more. And we got more. So I don't know if I'm still like 50-50. Should he stick with the heavyweights for me, or should he stick with the junior weights? I know he's not going to be around for long because apparently he and Mike are signed with WWE or something to do with that. So it's probably the last we see of him. And if it is, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really liked him. I was with you because I wasn't very excited, because in his first stint, he was too flippy. And being in All Japan and being all flippy, especially when you are tall enough to be heavyweight in All Japan, because I believe he's 185, but I don't think he weighs more than 80 kilos. He's very, 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 very thin. And so he's very weird. He's an in-between, basically. And but when he came back for the tournament, he adapted completely style to All Japan. He added moves. For example, he added chops. He had chop exchanges, which meant that he understood the commission. He understood what he was there to do. He had the lariat. He understood that if he was fighting heavyweights, he had to fight like a heavyweight. So he kept all his flippy stuff, and he's very good at doing that, because he's, I think, in this regard, is better than Vecchio, because Vecchio is more spectacular, probably, but he goes overboard with his stuff. He does one move after the other. He never waits for his opponent, while Egil Blanc is more deliberate with his stuff. Mm. And for this reason, he doesn't have as many missteps. I only remember the match, you know, in the All Asia Tag when he slipped on the rope trying to do the springboard dropkick. Mm. But I think that's something that happens. You can slip from the rope. It happens to everyone. And it's more deliberate with this. He's more deliberate with his style.
Yeah.
And he's very, very, very intelligent. He's very smart in the way he wrestles his style. I don't know if he's supposed to end up in the US, but probably is, because they have this imperialist mindset, these two promotions. And mm-hmm. of course, for Europeans, it's probably easier to go to the US than to go in Japan and completely change their way of existing and wrestling. So I can see him and Vecchio go there. But if he's not set to go there, I hope he can appear, I don't know, in some other occasion. Yeah. He's very good.
For Mike D, I just said he needed to slow down a bit. Like, here's the thing. I don't really like talking about people's mistakes. Like, you know, I've made mistakes on this podcast. I will edit it out so people won't hear that. For Mike D, they can't edit his mistakes because it's live or video on demand and they don't have another camera angle to show it. So I just felt like he was too fast. He just needed to slow down and just calm down a bit. Like, I felt bad because I know people are bad talking him online, which is unfair because, like I said, everyone makes mistakes. But I think his was just a bit more obvious.
Yeah, I agree. He is too, I don't know, he needs to be a little bit more chill in his style. But he is very enthusiastic, which is kind of the way he is, who he is.
Yeah.
He is going to the US because he is extremely I don't know, spectacular, extremely explosive and all that stuff. But he does too much stuff every time that it ends up being a problem for him. Because especially as you said before, you're working live. You cannot do that much stuff to avoid to correct your mistakes. So probably it often happens that after he does one mistake, he does one immediately after, because probably gets nervous. So in that occasion, probably slow down, take it a different approach. But also the complaints that people have on him are completely unwarranted. I don't know, this was his first Champion Carnival, probably his last, who knows. So I don't know, it is I don't know, the problem is a lot of people started watching after Muto left All Japan, so they don't know what kind of gaijins he used to bring to the carnival. People are completely unaware of the bullshit people have had to endure during his time. It was a glorious time. I was a very Muto guy at the time. But looking back nowadays, a lot of the guys that he brought in weren't that great. And I don't know, it seems so unfair to me. I don't know, but at the end of the day, what can you do?
Well, I'm going to talk about Anzai now.
Yes.
Compared to last year, he had a much more relaxing tournament. He got to hang out with his Alpedo friends. They were in the same block. And even though he is a champion, I bet the weight of carrying the Triple Crown is so much more heavy than the weight of carrying the All Asia tag belts. The thing is, no shade to anybody I'm going to mention, he didn't really get big wins. The biggest one, like no pun intended, was Ranayabe. He lost to Honda, Ray, Yuma, Kikuta. I don't really think Kikuta was going to reach the finals as he is a guest, but he's still a big name in his company. I don't really know where I'm going with this. It was just interesting to point out. but saying all this, Anzai is always one to watch when people say who to watch in like tournaments or just when they get into All Japan. Anzai, 100%. I enjoyed seeing him deal with Aege Blanc. I enjoyed him with Honda. It's just the thing is, he lost to Yuma Aoyagi, and it's a continuation because he lost the Triple Crown bout to Yuma. So I like that they're continuing that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my Anzai review.
Yeah, which goes to show that they are not forgetting about stories.
Ooh, they're not.
Yeah. And Yuma Anzai is probably my third favorite in Japan. I mean, the first two are quite obvious, I think. But considering the first two are a completely different level to anyone else, I adore Yuma Anzai. I adore him, and I'm glad they are slowing a little bit the process of him getting back to the belt, because he's 25, or he's already 26, I don't remember. But he's going to win this belt a million times. Or, I mean, unless they give him very long reigns, but that's also good. And he will be back, and I cannot wait. I'm glad. I really like the program All Japan have been working right now with the Saitos, so I'm not complaining. But after them, I want, and after them, I mean in like 6 months at least. I need the program to last a little bit longer. Then I would be okay to bring Anzai back in the program. He's young, he's phenomenal, he's the best. Especially when he fights the guys who are the other main stars of the time. For example, you can see when he faces Ayabe, when he faces Honda, when he faced Rey, he always had phenomenal matches. And I think he will be the guy that will bring peace to the discourse of All Japan, because it seems to me that a lot of people want a specific type of wrestler, and they can adapt their view on this guy. And this is what is needed to calm the waters. And he did it the first time when there was the Nakajima shit show.
Yeah.
And nowadays they are not working a shit show. I truly firmly believe that the program they're doing is very, very well done. It makes sense. But to make the discourse more normal again. Probably we'll have to wait the day that he becomes champion again. So that I don't know what I'm going to, whatever I'm going towards me to, but yeah. My take.
Your Anzai review too.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but like when Kento holds a triple crown, everything feels calm, it feels normal, it feels safe. I reckon that's gonna happen with Anzai. When he starts holding a triple crown, it just feels like everything's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So I want to talk about the Dragon Gate wrestler in Book B, Kakuta. I was very pleasantly surprised when his face popped up as a participant. Ever since I have been watching, we've had like a lot of older wrestlers, Super Crazy, Tiger Mask, Yuji Nagata, to name a few. But he is this 25-year-old guy from Dragon Gate, and he was great. I think Dylan was saying on the Champion Carnival preview episode we did, like, don't expect classic, fast-paced, high-flying Dragon Gate like Naruki Doi from him, which is fine. But what I didn't expect from him was to fit like a glove in All Japan. Like, his finisher is a lariat. Like, is there a better company than All Japan to have a lariat finisher? Like, come on. He did defeat Anzai, so a potential All Asia title match in the works. So hopefully, like, fingers crossed. He did really well in Champion Carnival. So whoever picked him, whoever put him in Block B, like, yeah, they were spot on.
Yeah, he was the only guy, he's probably the only guy in Dragon Gate I'm aware of because of his style. I used to watch Dragon Gate, but their style is too hectic, too fast-paced. Yeah. I like more deliberate style. And of course, I always liked him. But I was curious to see him in the context of All Japan, because this is a promotion where the main guys are slower, more deliberate. They are more heavy. They are more heavy hitting as opposed to Dragon Gate, and he did it in a way that was so perfect, so natural. It was insane. It was insane. I am in awe of the way he adapted to the guys. I'm not being mysterious about the match that he had with Rei Saito. I loved it. I loved the match with Anzai. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lot of people had problems with him being, he does the hip attack and he bullshit around with his ass. But people seems to have a very, very much a problem with that. And he didn't go overboard with that either. No. He was very, very, very calm. Then I don't know if many people noticed, but he basically changed his approach to the way he wrestled during the tournament, which basically happened because of something that happened in Dragon Gate.
Yeah.
He went more overboard with his heel persona, and then he started portraying his heel persona in All Japan too, which was incredible. And also I really enjoy the way that on Twitter, after he was basically the first in his block. He lost three matches one after the other, and he complained that it was because of the shows were far from the other, so they had to travel a lot. And he say, as I'm going to destroy Dragon Gate, I'm going to destroy All Japan. So probably he's going to appear again in All Japan, and I'm well, what can I say? I really hope so. And of course, Dragon Gate probably is a richer promotion than All Japan nowadays, so he's never going to leave Dragon Gate for All Japan.
No, no.
But I hope he stays a little bit as a regular.
Yeah.
I would go as far as giving him Triple Crown matches, because he's a star in his own right, because he's one of Dragon Gate's new faces. He's very young and he's phenomenal. And also, he works very, very well in the context of All Japan, which is why he was probably the guy to watch in most shows that he was in.
Yeah. Like, he reminds me of Anzai. Like, they were both super young in their careers when they won their promotion's top belt. And I love how throughout the tournament, he was still wrestling in Dragon Gate. He went from basically, like, babyface to heel, and it transitioned to All Japan perfectly because, like, who did he wrestle after turning heel? Like, Honda. And they're just, like, two brats, just, like, the same but, like, still different. Yeah, he was just wonderful. I was really, really happy they picked him.
Yeah, same. It was a very, very, very smart choice.
Okay, so talking about Honda,
Yes.
I wrote like my wonderful redhead maniac. I adore this wrestler so much. Like we've talked about it before, like quickly. For Honda, it's always a bridesmaid and never a bride, basically. He gets so close. I hope All Japan doesn't see him as someone who's good enough to get to the finals, but not good enough to win. He's still young, so hopefully we'll see the day one day. But I do think he had some of the best matches in B Block. Like I'll talk about like him and a wrestler later, but like
Yes.
him and Ayabe and Kakuta spring to mind first. I always love tag team partners fighting each other, and like I said before, Kakuta and Honda just seem like the perfect pairing. Like they're such similar.
Yes, the perfect
The
match.
semifinals with Kento also deserves a shout out, but I just want to see him win. I had a quick look at his tournaments, and 3 times he was eliminated before the finals. That was all 2021 to 2022, so like that's when he was still young. Since then, he has made the semifinals 5 times and the finals 3 times. Like it's time to give my boy a win. Like come on, All Japan.
Yes, which goes to what I was saying before, that All Japan is still telling stories. The story of Honda is that, as you said before, he's the guy that is almost there every time, but he's still not there, which is part of his upbringing, which also goes to show that All Japan is not giving too much to his young stars. And Honda is 25 up until Yu Manzai, 27 and a half, 28 was the age that you had to be considered a part of the main event scene. So he's not at that point, but I think he's going to get the belt before getting 27. I'm almost sure of this because you can see by the way he's treated, by the way he approaches the big matches. He's always the guy. He's never the guy that you say is going to lose 100%, especially in tournaments. When someone is facing Honda, you know that probably Honda is going to win, which is a big feat for a guy who is 25, I believe. I believe he's already 25, yes. And yeah, I'm waiting patiently for the way he's getting his flowers. And I think they are working with all the Elpida guys, actually. And they're working a little bit behind the main scene. But they're all there. They're all developing. They're all getting stronger and more believable as champions, as opponents, and all that stuff. So I'm very curious to see what is going to happen because I'm fairly convinced he's going to get something big pretty soon.
No, I think he put him in pretty big positions. Like I remember last year, the Royal Road tournament, he was in like 3 out of 5 main event matches for that tournament. Like when he graduated from the rookie stage, an unfortunate injury to Jake Lee means the Triple Crown was vacated. He was in that like little tournament and he made it
Yes.
to verse Kento for the belt. Like that's crazy after just graduating the rookie stage. So he will get there. It's just frustrating seeing him get so close time and time again.
Yes, I agree.
Like, is this going to happen in the Royal Road? Is he going to make like the finals and then lose? 3 years in
Yeah,
a row, it would
that
be
would be
actually.
interesting. Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to win the Royal Road before he wins the Champion Carnival
Yeah.
because they've been teasing him winning the Royal Road too much for him not to win that tournament. Also, it is a little bit safer as a tournament than the Champion Carnival because, of course, it is less grueling.
Yeah.
It is a shorter tournament, and as we've seen with Ayabe, they are more brave with the tournament. And although I'll say they gave the tournament to Sai Turei, we still, I mean. He's not a rookie anymore, but he's not been around for a long time. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Ray now. This was definitely his tournament to lose. Like I've said this a million times, like his storyline, it just makes sense. June denying a title shot, Ray had to really work from it. You know, after he said no, he can't have a title shot, Ray just kept losing, like he lost to Asuki. And then like here, he starts off with 3 losses, but it's just like Okay, or Japan. I know what you're doing. Like, he
Yes.
has these three losses, and then just from there, like domination after domination after domination, makes the finals, wins the tournament, deserves to win. I don't know how much to say about him. It's just right.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the problem that it was too obvious, but I'm not going to complain because it was very clear from the beginning when he started losing. I mean, it was very easy to understand what was going to happen, but sometimes doing the simple thing means doing the smart thing. And especially at that point, you couldn't have back down from that storyline. After what you've been saying as a promotion, since June won the belt, you needed this kind of story to develop and to end up in this fashion. So at that point, it was too late to go back. And again, this time doing the simple thing, the most obvious thing was the smart thing. Also, the way he fought the matches that he won that brought him to the final were almost all dominant performances from him, which strengthened what was being told. The storyline went very, very, very fairly with the way the matches were worked, and that was very nice. This was good. The problem, as we said before, was with the final, that it was too evenly fought, probably. But apart from that, I'm glad that we had this kind of outcome, not only because I'm a Rey's biggest fan, probably, but because it was the thing to do. I firmly believe this.
And like we said before, he had good matches in the tournament. He always goes well with Anzai. His match with Kakuta was great. Like trying to like ground Aigle Blanc was fun. He had a really fun tournament, you know. I'm not gonna say skip it, but like watch it.
Yeah, also, the only thing I wanted, I said it on Blue Sky at the time, the only final possible was going to be Kento against Rei Saito, because especially the way the tournament was developed. But the only other possibility that I would have accepted was also with Rei in the final. I mean, it was going to happen in a way or another, I believe.
I'm surprised he got to the finals by like basically like killing Hideki in less than 2 minutes. Because
Yes.
I was watching like bits and pieces from that show because I was doing other stuff. So like I was looking at it and looking away, looking at it. I was like, wait, it's already over? Like it just started.
Yeah, I beat the shit out of Hideki. And they're friends too. They are very close, which was very fun.
Yeah. I feel bad not mentioning the other two wrestlers like in this block. So Yuma Aoyagi, he's Yuma Aoyagi. You know what to expect from him. He does his role perfectly, basically. I didn't think he was gonna win. I didn't expect him to draw high because that's just Yuma. Rene Yabe, he was getting meaner and meaner, and I like it. What
Yes.
I don't like, and I mentioned this on another podcast, the All About All Japan podcast, he puts his hands on his hips and he's not committed. He drops it like a second later, like just run stop. Like it's not doing you any favors with your new mean attitude.
Agree. But as style as with his style is getting tougher and tougher and tougher, and it is good to see, because I don't know if people remember the way Ayabe was prior to signing with All Japan. He was way more awkward in the way he worked, and starting the way that Yuma Oyagi unlocked his potential was incredible. And also, he's starting to understand what he needs to do, which is very important. And he's becoming a very, very, very interesting guy to follow. I think, same with Honda, they can pull the trigger any day now with him. He will still learn on the job, which it's obvious for any guy who wins the belt for the first time. But the potential is immense, I believe.
I agree. But that was Block B. We actually covered everyone when we're not
Yeah,
going
we talk
to.
a lot more about Block B, as we were expecting, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very interesting block, the way it developed, the way the guys he had in. Very fun.
What is your overall thoughts of the carnival? Because I know you want to talk about it a little bit.
Yes, I had two thoughts. The first was that I really enjoyed the vibe. I know it's something that people say to downplay something nowadays, but I really liked the vibe. It seemed like a very positive tournament. I didn't see anything too negative. I mean, even if we talk about Ashino, which is always a negative when he doesn't go far, but he seemed fine with what he was doing. He always gave his 200% in every match, so I don't think he's struggling too much. But I really enjoyed Block B, the youthful energy, which is something that I really love about current Aerol Japan. They are trying a lot of new stuff. They are not afraid to do that. And of course, it's easy to do that when the guys you are pushing are your biggest draws. Like, for example, it's what is happening with Rey. But at the other time, it's still something that it's not too common and not too obvious. And I really love that some Japanese promotion are embracing this. And we've seen other promotions that are doing the same stuff, pushing the young guys, which is every once in a while is good. Rejuvenate every once in a while. The main event scene is great. It is great what New Japan is doing with Goto because it was deserved, but it is good to have kids win. I mean, even if you're talking about a 40-year-old kid with Rei Saito in this case, but as on a career standpoint, he's young and it is good. And also the other guys, it's great. It's great to see these all these young faces giving their 100%. It was very fun. The other thing that I noticed is that the production quality has really increased. I know it's weird to say because a couple of shows during the tournaments, in the mid of the tournaments, had a miking so atrocious that you couldn't understand anything of what was happening. But apart from that, the rest of the world, the production quality really increased. Most shows had many camera angles, which is something that was not obvious with All Japan. Especially, I think if we go back to last year's Carnival, a lot of shows had the fixed camera angle, which is fine, but it is better when you have more cameramen going around the ring. For example, I noticed it during the Sapporo shows. They had multiple camera angles, and they even tried some new spots during those couple of shows that were new. So they treated a lot of shows like they were more important than they used to do. As far as 1 year ago. And so I noticed this stuff, which goes hand in hand with the fact that they're getting a lot of sponsors. So I'm happy to see that they are using those money in a wise fashion. And that was what I was trying to say.
I thought it was actually a really fun carnival. What I liked is you obviously have like your big names, like in Block A you had Kento and Suzuki, Block B you had like the Yumas, but then you had surprises like Mashimo. He was like a dark horse in the tournament. And then like in Block B you had Kakuta, like an outsider, or Aigle Blanc, another outsider. And they just made it just that much more fun. And I don't know, I just wish it got more love.
Yeah, I agree. I think the tournament as a whole has been treated way more unfairly than it deserved, which is a shame. But I've got to say, while people who were there seemed to have enjoyed a lot what they were saying, what they were seeing, and the attendances were great. The pre-sales for the next show are great. And this was even before we had the champion. We had a winner. I posted it on Blue Sky. I usually don't do that, but I ended up seeing the pre-sales of the Sendai show a couple of weeks ago, and there were already three sectors that were sold out. So they were already selling well. So I think it's safe to say that people who are there are enjoying what they're seeing. And at the end of the day, this is what counts. This is the kind of fan that a promotion needs to cultivate. Of course, it is important to have new faces that watch your show. It's important because if you want to grow, it is what you need. But at the end of the day, you have to count on people who come regularly to watch your shows. And in that instance, it is working very well, I believe. I think the what we saw talk for itself. The arenas were always full. The backdrop was nice. Although it is a problem all Japan has, their stages are horrendous. I've seen other promotions, like for example Stardom, which are of course way richer, that can put a stage for a 400 people show that are more appealing to the eye than 2,000 people all Japan shows. And this, I think, this is a problem for some people. They want some production quality that is great on that extent too. But I think that's not who they are.
No.
And I think that's not going to change. I don't think you watch All Japan for that. And also, it is charming to see those horrendous warehouses that they book for the 1,500 people shows that, yeah, they're there. What can you say? What can you do, especially?
That's funny because I didn't realize. Yeah, like if you look at Noah on their first of the year show and like Wrestle Kingdom for New Japan and Stardom and stuff, they all have fancy stages. All Japan doesn't have fancy stages for any show, basically.
No, absolutely.
They have one
Yeah,
for the
no.
50th anniversary? I can't really remember.
I think they try their best with the Ota World show, but it's still not something they seem to care too much about.
Yeah, that's why we
Yeah,
love
it's
them.
not yeah, exactly. It's not something that is lacking because they just don't care.
Yeah.
I know that's to some people this is a problem, but yeah. I mean, it's not what I look them for. I don't watch Japan for that stuff.
Yeah. Want to say, like, we have a lot of new directions now that it's over. Like, who June lost to, like, Hideki, he can challenge for the belt. Anzai, who was one half of the All Asia, we already have a challenge from Yuma Aoyagi and Asuke Aoyagi, but like Kakuta can challenge, Honda can challenge. So it's really fun to see what's going to happen, like, the next couple months.
Yes, I think that after this show, after the June show, I don't know, I think it will be a little bit of smooth sailing up until the Royal Road. But I mean, of course I have a favorite outcome for the upcoming title match, and I wish this comes to pass. I wish Ray is going to win the belt. I hope Ray is going to win the belt. And I hope he's going to keep the belt up until the Royal Road.
Wow.
Then whoever wins, he can have the belt, whatever they want. But I think after having reached this point, Ray needs to win. I know it would make sense to him for him to lose against June again, which is something that happens frequently. But as I said before, you cannot treat the stories with them the same way you treat stories with other guys who are 15 years younger.
Makes sense,
It
makes sense.
is different with them. You cannot go too overboard with them because, yeah, nowadays they are great. Nowadays they work perfectly fine with their bodies, but they're big, they're heavy. We see people go strong in their 50s in Japan, but you cannot be assured that these two big guys will be able to go as strong in their 40s. So I don't know. This is something that I think all Japan needs to think carefully about. But as I said before, I would go with Ray.
That's interesting because I think June, but I can definitely see them giving it to Ray, especially where they're going to hold it, like back in their hometown. And, give them each a reign. I don't think they'll be, multiple time Triple Crown champions. Like they are tag team champions. Why not,
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. At the end of the day, of course, they will have their occasional title reign probably, but they are the dominators of the tag division. You have there for a reason, and you will need them when the Royal World Tag League times comes around,
Yeah.
etc. Especially because nowadays they are not champions anymore and people have lost interest about the duck bells. It is not by chance that it is happening. But they are tag champions. They will not probably. I wouldn't say that they're necessarily never going to win any other title in single in a singles division, but probably let's say they won't. This would be the perfect occasion to give Rey his first and last reign,
Yeah.
and then back to the tag division they go. For the singles division, you have Ryuki Honda, you have Rena Yabe, you have Yuma Nzai, you still have Yuma Oyagi, you still have Kento Miara, you still, if you want, have Hideki Suzuki. There is no shortage of guys, I believe. So, I don't know. This is what I would do.
It makes sense. I can't argue with it. But just like a one last thought, like I think everyone really put in the effort, even Hideki Suzuki. I think they really actually gave it their all. They really had enjoyable shows every single time. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I really liked the tournament. I really had a lot of fun, which is not something that it's obvious with how tournaments are. But it was a fun time.
Yeah.
It was a very fun time.
So onto a note I have. We did mention this a little bit before, but like I'm so happy with this note. Since Asuka Yagi has been talking about holding a junior heavyweight tournament, like, and thank God it's been too long since
Yes.
they held a junior Battle of Glory. It
Yes.
really sucks that they've kind of been pushed to the side after they constantly deliver again and again and again. So I'm really happy to hear this. No dates have been announced, but it's going to be between like Champion Carnival and Royal Road, like probably like right in the middle. There's no
Yeah.
tournaments there, so just slot them in there.
Yeah, July, definitely July.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do if it's like just a multi-day thing or like around Robin, like Champion Carnival is and how their tournament, the Junior Battle of Glory, is, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very curious. I cannot wait, honestly, because the guys deserve it. Because they've been, they are not being given the shine they deserved it. So it's fine that they're finally at their time. And I'm curious to see what they're going to bring.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what kind of guys will come from the outside. And honestly, I cannot wait.
Like you got Asuki, Haito, Musashi, Yoshioka, Rei Inoue, Dan, probably Taishin Nagao will be in there.
Yeah.
So that's seven. They did a tournament with like only five wrestlers.
Yes.
Maybe Doi, Sego Tachibana,
Yeah.
Fumanori
Yeah,
Abe.
I would go for at least 10 guys.
Yeah. I know, but I'm
I mean,
excited.
unless it is a round robin tournament with two blocks, in
Yeah.
that case that would be at least 12, I believe. But it depends because you cannot bring too many guys from the outside because people won't care, probably.
Oh my God, Hikaru Sato. How did I forget him? He'll be
Oh,
he'll definitely be
yeah.
there.
Yes.
No, but like, look forward to it because they've done the Royal Rumble before. They've done junior tournament when it was 2 days. It was elimination.
Yes.
That's when Francisco Akira won it, actually,
Yes.
who's in New Japan now. So they've done a couple of different, variations of it. We just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very curious. I'm very hyped, I'll be honest.
Yeah. So we're going to move to match of the tournament and wrestle of the
Yes.
tournament instead of month. So match of the month for me, hands down, no question, was Yuma Anzai versus Ricky Honda from day five. There were some really fun matches, but this was head and shoulders above the rest for me. These two had my match of the year from last year with their Triple Crown match, and their Champion Carnival match from last year was my second favorite after the finals. They did the spot again when Anzai went for the jumping knee and Honda caught it for a final event. I adore that spot. That's the spot that got me to believe Honda was actually winning the Triple Crown last year.
Yeah, it worked so well this time.
Yeah.
It was so smooth.
Honda can defeat Anzai 101, but not when it comes to the Triple Crown. So I want to
Yes.
see if they're going to continue that. Like Honda's always chasing, kind of like Yuma-Aoyagi was. I'll be really interested to see what happens because this is going to be a generational rivalry, and I'm so here
Yes.
for it.
Yes, it's very interesting. I'm very curious to see how things will develop. Yeah, I love this match. It was my second match of the tournament and the whole tour. My match of the tour, as I probably hinted, was Rei Saito versus Madoka Kikuta. I mean, at the end of the day, this is my stuff. This match had written Simone all over it. All the chops trade, the lariats exchange, the no selling from Rei to the chops from Kikuta. I've seen people complain that it was too long. I really disagree. I think this kind of match need this exact length and this exact development, and I truly loved it. I truly loved it.
I love Kakuta going up against someone like who is big, like even like taller to Ray, because like I don't think he does that a lot in Dragon Gate. So just to
Yeah,
see him in
no.
a different environment, just going 100% for it is great.
Yes, I agree.
So I asked Jonathan and Rachel, who have both been guests on this podcast, to give me their match at the tournament so we have a bit of variety. Jonathan went with Hideki Suzuki versus Shota Ishino, with his runner-up being Yuma Aoyagi and Yuma Anzai. Rachel chose Yuma Aoyagi versus Aigle Blanc, with close second being Yuma Anzai and Madoka Kakuta. So you got a
Ah, a
lot
lot
of
of
variation, like
yeah.
no overlaps.
Wow. Yeah. This goes to show that probably this tournament worked better than a lot of people assumed it would.
So yeah,
I think it's interesting choices.
I think any of those four matches and Jonathan and Rachel's like second place. Go watch them. Like, I reckon all of them are really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, now wrestler of the tournament. Like it's Honda. I'm so predictable, but it has to be Honda for me. I kind of feel bad about not giving it to Anzai or Rei or Kento because I think they all had a great tournament. Like I can't deny that they didn't. But like I just love Honda. Like I'm a former Honda hater, now a Honda lover. I
Yeah, I
can't deny him.
remember. I remember. Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, I have to agree. Honda is always the guy in tournaments. It's either him or Anzai. They just know how to work tournament matches. They're incredible. And also my third choice would have been Rei. All three in Block B, which goes to show that, I mean, this just confirms what we've been saying for the past 2 hours, that Block B was at the end of the day way more interesting in general, because it had this all those young guys, all those new matchups. Very, very fascinating.
Well, then who would you say was your favorite from Block A?
Probably Gengo
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But the one I was looking forward the most was Zion. I was always curious to see how he would pull the tournament match. I was very invested in his tournament.
Yeah. So, like, there you have it. There's some matches for people to go watch. There's some wrestlers to watch their whole tournament. Honda, Anzai, Mashimo. Check out Zion as well.
Yeah. It's something new too. So it's nice every once in a while to see new faces pop up and do interesting stuff. Maybe they will not have the matches of the tournament, the matches of the year, the matches of the night even, but they will. It's nice and it's fascinating to see this kind of development. I really love it. It is one of the reasons I'm still around, probably, to see new guys in new contexts. It's very fascinating to me.
Oh, I was gonna say, before when we were talking about Block A like ages ago. So Cyrus was replaced with Yoshida. Yoshida won one match. Cyrus
Yes.
would have won more than one match, yeah?
Yeah.
They can't. So they had to
Yeah, it would have
really
been very
shuffle things
different.
around.
Yes. Yes, it would have been a different tournament completely.
So I hate being like a what if person, but I'm just like, what if Cyrus was still in? Like what who like I don't think Kendo would have been out of the finals, but I'm just like, how would it shuffled around a bit?
Probably less victories for Kumarashi. For
Yeah, maybe
Kumarashi,
Akuma.
probably for Zion too. I don't know, maybe Hideki was a last minute replacement. He wasn't supposed to go this strong. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. It sounds weird. The seconds I'm saying, I'm just, the fuck are you saying? No, I don't know. I
Wow.
really don't know. I really don't know. It's curious. It's a nice thought. I don't know.
So we have reached the end of another episode. Thank you all for listening and supporting Jumping Knee Pod. You can find me on Twitter at Sister Jessie on Railroad 72, on Blue Sky at Sister Jessie, and Jumping Knee Pod is also on Instagram.
On Twitter, I'm not there. I mean, I'm there, but not that much anymore. I only read stuff. I'm outsider GW on both sides, by the way. I'm called Simone FKA Compa.
Please follow him for all your Saito brother needs and just takes, because yeah, he's like the number one.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice of you.
But thank you all once again. Thank you, Simone. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Count Out Network.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.